Hey, this is Bethany, and I want to welcome you to Rooftops. Thanks for joining me today. My prayer is that this would encourage and challenge you just to activate your faith as you hear God speaking to you. So the topic for today is the question, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? And this is not an outfit, okay? Not talking about what kind of clothes you're wearing today. But have you ever walked by somebody, or maybe somebody walked by you and you were just like, they smell so good. And maybe you asked them, what are you wearing? So we're going to be talking about fragrance today, okay? And the Bible actually has a lot to say, believe it or not, about smells, aroma, fragrance, incense. It's often found in the context of worship. Malachi 1:11 says, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." I bet that there are fragrances that you like, fragrances that you dig, that you prefer, and I also would bet there's some scents that you don't care for. Do you know that God has a fragrance preference as well? He also has some fragrances he doesn't care for, some that he considers offensive, actually. So we're going to talk about a few scents today. The first one is the scent of the world. Okay, just that means worldliness. It's the ways of the world. It's sin. And 1 John 2:16 describes it so well. "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." So you've probably used body spray. You've probably used perfume or cologne before. And you know, if you have, there's a difference, okay? I'm not a body spray hater. It's great. Like, you spray it on maybe after you work out, or maybe you had Mexican for lunch, okay, and you're going into a meeting. But it's not the same as perfume. Perfume is a better quality. It lasts longer. It usually tends to be much more expensive than a body spray. And it's because it has a higher content of oil in it. Body spray is usually much cheaper. There's a high alcohol content in it. It doesn't last. And it makes me think of how this is such a good representation of the world. Okay, bear with me for the sake of analogy. Body spray in the world, its promises are fleeting. It seems good at first, but then it just doesn't last. And so maybe you could just ask yourself today, what fragrance am I wearing? Am I full of alcohol, you know, the fillers of the world, or am I full of oil, of the Holy Spirit? The second scent that I want to talk about is the scent of religion. Okay, I want to read Luke 7, verses 36 through 39. "One of the Pharisees asked him to eat Jesus with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner.'" See, people who wear the scent of religion, they tend to think that they are better than others. They tend to look down on other people. They judge the motive of others, and they're blinded to their pride. They couldn't see this beautiful act of worship that this woman was pouring out on Jesus. And they even thought that they knew better than Jesus. I mean, the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, then he would have known what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner. So this makes me think of my grandma, and I know this is a hard shift, but go here with me for a second. So my grandma is highly sensitive to smells, okay? She does not like hardly any perfumes, and it just so happens to be I don't know, I was probably in junior high. There was a fad going around where we would wear men's cologne. And so I had like men's eternity. Okay. And this stuff was potent. It was strong. If you've been to a youth group or a middle school event lately, you will smell it. Okay. They just kind of bathe themselves in it. Well, that's what we did too. And so it was so strong. And whenever I would come around, my grandma would get like kind of sick. It would give her a headache, a migraine. She'd be frustrated with me. And any kind of smell, I just remember it almost irritated her and like made her angry. And I think about this and how there's a smell that God considers a stench to his nostrils as well that puts him off, so to speak. And God is offended by the scent of worldliness and religion. The third fragrance, though, that I want to talk about is the fragrance of Christ. In Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment. Here we go. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, not just the religious people that we would think, the Pharisees, but when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare for my burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Wow. A true worshiper gets God's heart. It draws him in. It's like a magnet to him. And other people around you, maybe even church people, they might not get it. They might misunderstand your devotion to Christ at times. There are going to be people that say, this can't be real. I know what they've done. I know their past. I know who they really are. Who do they think they are anyway? Then there's other people that they're not just going to misunderstand, but they're just going to flat out disagree. They're going to be offended by your passion for the Lord. They're going to say things like, you're over the top. You're too extreme. Maybe even accuse you of being in a cult. You know, they'll say things like, it's just not normal to give of yourself, to lose yourself this way. But this extravagant kind of worship, it leaves such a lasting and impactful fragrance. It's an aroma that pleases God, and it's an aroma that fills the room wherever we go. It's this fragrance that declares the gospel that Jesus loves people, that Jesus receives people, and that he saves sinners. I mean, here's this sinful woman pouring out her best for Jesus, and Jesus receives her worship. He defends her against her accusers, and he actually stands up for her, and he honors her. Listen to 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. But thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we're a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? A true, extravagant worship, I think, would be the answer for that. Jesus said that this woman had done a beautiful thing for him. What she had done by pouring out her worship to Jesus, she had actually prepared him for his burial. She anointed him. And I find this very intriguing, to say the least, that worship has this kind of purpose. That, think about it, she probably didn't even realize that Jesus was about to be crucified and buried. She probably didn't even understand the magnitude of what she was doing. And often, I think we don't realize it. Maybe we don't see it always. We don't know it. We don't perceive it in every situation. Every time we pour out our worship to the Lord. But Jesus uses our worship for purpose, and it's the purpose to minister to him and to glorify him, but to spread this fragrance in our world. So God is using your worship in ways that maybe you haven't even identified yet. And Jesus also said, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That tells me that our sacrifice to Jesus will result in continual impact and influence. Your legacy is determined by your worship. Your calling is found in your worship. And this is why some of us struggle to understand what's our purpose. We can't seem to find clarity sometimes and what God's leading us to do. What does he want from our lives? But in my experience, it's been in those deep places of worship, pouring out my worship to the Lord, where things began to get the most clear. It's like the clouds moved and the sun came out and I could see. It's been the place of intimacy where I've been able to receive and conceive God's vision for my life and for the world around me. It's also been the very place that I've been empowered and I've been strengthened to birth the calling of God in my life into existence. You know, last summer we bought a Blackstone grill and I was just cooking away on this grill because everything, if you have one, you just know, okay, everything is better on a Blackstone. Like you've got smash burgers, they taste better. You've got veggies that are grilled, they taste better than if you do it any other way. It's just so good. Even breakfast, okay, it's just wonderful. Everything is so good. And when I would cook over the Blackstone, when I would stand over the griddle, when I would stand over the fire and the smoke began to rise, what was being prepared is what I absorbed. I absorbed the scent of whatever it was that I was cooking. And it's the same with worship. We end up smelling like whatever it is we've been preparing. So picture it with me here for a moment. Don't you just know that this woman that we've been reading about, that she ended up ultimately smelling like her Savior, that they shared the same fragrance when she broke that alabaster jar wide open, that as she would put it on Jesus, that you know it had to begin to flow down her hands and her wrist and come upon her as well. And this is exactly what happens to us as we worship. The more oil content that we have, so to speak, the fuller we are of the Holy Spirit, the greater the concentration. And this is what brings about that lasting fragrance of Jesus on our lives that touches the world around us. So hopefully today you are encouraged to put on God's preferred fragrance, which is the smell of his Son, the fragrance of Christ. And I'd like to just leave us with Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Thanks so much for joining me today for Rooftops.